If you're not in a safe environment, the last thing you want to do from a survival perspective is lose your vigilance. And it makes sense that vigilance and threat and perceived threat should interfere with sleep because of this. And if you think of this from a human evolutionary point of view, not with modern houses and locked doors and alarms, but rather the evolutionary conditions within which our sleep evolved, it's quite compelling to think about the situation. Because in stage four sleep, we're completely unresponsive, particularly young people. REM sleep, we lose muscle tone. We can't sleep in trees. And the human ancestral environment was filled with nocturnal hunting carnivores that make the modern Serengeti look like a safe place. And yet there's no evidence of physically safe sleep sites from the anthropologic record. And the point here is that human sleep and human stress evolved in social construct terms. It's as Robert Sapolsky has made clear in a lot of his work with olive baboons and other social primates, that the real stress isn't a leopard approaching a troop of baboons, because it's not going to attack an attack troop of baboons. The real stress isn't doing dangerous things like driving 70 miles an hour on the interstate, which is physically dangerous. The real stress is social evaluation and social rejection, because an alone primate's a dead primate. And this tendency to find social threats so deeply vigilance-enhancing and sleep-interfering is part of the framework for thinking about the interactions between sleep and stress. But my point is those have important developmental implications. Infants don't need to worry much about vigilance until the age they start to crawl, and then they have the beginnings of this, and that's when they start having the separation anxiety and night wakings go up.